Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Man searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't want to go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah, yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. They're making promises but can't set you free.
I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. Our guest today, and I'm waiting for him to call in, is a beautiful priest, a holy priest, and his name is Father Doug McKay, Father Douglas McKay. And Father Doug is he's just an amazing man of God. And I wanted to interview him on his book that he had written, and it's called Heaven's Homecoming. And Father Doug McKay wrote it, and one of our finest, Archbishop Timothy Dolan, wrote the foreword to it. And it's a book about the last days of people's lives who Father Doug ministered to. In Heaven's Homecoming, Father McKay has compiled eulistic stories of the elderly under his 18 years as priestly watch at Holy Family Home in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And through the spirit of St. Jeanne and her little sisters of the poor, these humble professors of the faith will make you laugh and cry as you read the testimonies of their sunsetting lives. I read the book, and I liked it so much. It's actually dog-eared on different pages. And he writes so simplistically, yet so profound. And the book was actually dedicated to his own mother and father, Agnes Mary and Harry Joseph McKay. And he says they are the first people who first instilled the Catholic faith into his own heart, and in loving memory of the Holy Family home residents who lived and died under his priestly watch. And the foreword really, it touched my heart when I read it from Timothy Dolan. He says, Heaven's Homecoming celebrates the profound silence of indescribable joy in the presence of our God, who calls us home to himself. Since this is our goal, he says, let's go on for God. And again, that's by Timothy Dolan, now Cardinal Timothy Dolan. It's a beautiful book. It's a sacred book based on the community of Holy Family Home, about the indwelling presence of God and his transforming love for us. We're going to talk right now to Father Doug, who is on the line. Hey, Father Douglas, how are you?
Hi, Kathleen, how you doing?
Good. I'm so blessed that you accepted this book interview. I know you're a very, very humble servant of God, and I know you really thought about it and prayed about it. But you know what? When God calls us to do a mighty work, we know it's His might that's at work in us, and I'm sure you realize that. And it's quite a gift, Father.
Yeah, and always a pressure.
Yeah.
So if you want to do the Lord's work and follow Him, look good wearing wood.
Yeah, I always say that because Molly Kelly says it herself so often. And as a matter of fact, I think she might have even coined that phrase. And it's so true. We better look good on wood, huh?
Yeah. But that's being in good company, right, Kathleen?
Absolutely, Father McKay. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, talking about being in good company, we share some beautiful friends. Some men that are on that holy journey, yes, and they've met you along the journey,
right.
And that's of course Joe and PJ,
right.
Two of my dear friends, or two of your dear friends, and Ken,
yeah.
Who's become a really dear friend, and so I just praise and thank God for the people that He puts in our path. And you know, I just shared. I was talking right before you were calling in. My book, and thank you for the inscription, it's beautiful, but my little book that you wrote, and again, it's Heaven's Homecoming,
mm-hmm.
by Father Douglas McKay, who's the author, Ken Johnson was the editor, and Archbishop Timothy Dolan. I just read your foreword on there, and Carol McLaughlin was the illustrator.
Right.
So I just, I was delighted. Closest adjective I could get to what I was feeling when I read the book, I was delighted. It was heavenly. You
yeah.
got the right name there, Heaven's Homecoming. It was heavenly. And I want to ask you, now I know it was after 18 years yourself and your priestly watch at Holy Family Home.
Right.
First off, I thought maybe you could tell us a little bit about Holy Family Home for our listeners that may not be aware. And then we'll go into the book.
You know, it's funny. You know, when you have an agenda, you want to do something, God usually has another agenda.
Amen.
You know, and maybe last week, one of the little sisters, they're starting up their website, if I would write something for the website. And I started to sit down and write. First of all, I don't like to write. It's hard work. And when I write something, it has to be burning in me.
Yeah.
And it's absorbing. You know, you forget to eat, you forget what time it is, you
That's
forget
right.
to pray, you know. But I like to have written, though, when the product is all over and you see it.
Mm.
It's worth all the hard work and
yep.
the hard labor. But anyway, one of the little sisters asked if I would do something for the website. And I started to write an article. And then the more I got into it, I couldn't stop, and you know, it turned out to be like 1,100 words, and it was like about just a little over 2 pages, but too long, I think, for the website. And then I'm looking at this article, I'm saying, this is a perfect article for promoting the book. And what I had put in the article was really things about Holy Family Home. And it's about 7 minutes to read, but I'm not going to really read it, but I can kind of summarize it.
Please.
You know, answer your question, and at the end, just read the ending part of it.
Okay.
Right. As you said, you know, I'm almost here 19 years, and I started my assignment on June the 21st, 1993. A new priestly season began for me on that first summer day, and I started as the chaplain, you know, and it was 100 residents, and they're under the watchful care, as you said, the Little Sisters of the Poor, founded by St. John Jagan. And since then, in those 18 years, over 300 souls have gone home to God under my priestly watch. But for the stretch of those years, those hundreds of deaths, they might not sound like a lot to a pastor of a large church. But for me, it was burying my parish community 3 times over. And when that first year, we had so many deaths. And, I'm in the chapel by the tabernacle, and I said to myself, you know, I can't stay here. I'm always in mourning. I can't. So I really considered a transfer until I listened wholeheartedly to my spiritual professors of the faith, the mm-hmm. elderly. you know. And, you know, the sayings that would go around the home when
yeah.
somebody would die, you know, you would hear something like, another graduate with flying colors, father,
yeah.
summa cum laude,
yeah.
you know. And then one holy man, Simon, he would refer to the funeral mass. He would always ask me the question, father, what time does the graduation ceremony commence?
Mm.
And the wisecrack that always made me laugh was this one, Kathleen. Who's that one thinks she is jumping ahead of the line? I'm older. You know? And they really, you know, I'm looking at them, and they're really very sincere.
Yeah.
They're so ready, like that apple that's ripe, that's ready to fall into God's hands. And they get jealous when somebody goes ahead of them. But here's what happened to me that really convinced me to stay here. It was the statement that pierced me like Cupid's arrow. And it happened at a deathbed. The family was all around, the staff, the residents, little sisters, and gathered around our departing Catherine. And St. John Jagan and St. Joseph medals were pinned on the bedclothes. And then there was a white rosary wrapped around her hands, matched the color of her wavy hair. And after the anointing and the plenary indulgence, the sweet singing of the little sisters' hymns, we wait for the Savior to come
mm-hmm.
and to take his own home. And then I'm just like gazing here, you know, gazing at the radiance and the twinkling blue eyes. And I actually saw myself peeking into the glory of God. And then hallowing the silence, the little sister spoke softly, the hope of salvation. And it really exalted my spirit. She whispered a reverent tone, saying, we are in the vestibule of heaven, the vestibule of heaven. And suddenly, like a surprise, like someone being surprised at their birthday party, our beloved Catherine gasped, she smiled, and died. Mm-hmm. Right in front of my gaping countenance. And I said, there and then I decided to stay at my priestly assignment, you know, that vestibule of heaven. I think that
wow.
vestibule of heaven, you know, like that little sister, that might be a title of a sequel for another book.
I was
but
just going to say
years,
that.
You know, I've been so privileged to witness numerous supernatural signs, you know,
wow.
In that sacred silence of that vestibule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw departing souls fixated, reaching for someone above this world. Other souls lifted up their heads, moved their lips, and spoke without words to someone beyond this world. And among the many beautiful deaths, there were like sweet fragrances.
Yeah,
you can actually smell it. That was, you know, really not of this world. And the glows like halos around the faces of those who have passed over and through the vestibule of heaven to the above and beyond the world. You know, it was like, it would take a book or two to describe in detail all the supernatural experiences. But volumes, you know, might make Holy Family Home sound like a real heaven, but we have to write volumes about my natural experiences at Holy Family Home where we all, you know, struggle to
yeah,
live
sure.
the gospel.
Sure.
You know, but when we're in that vestibule of heaven, we are gracefully united as one body, one spirit in Christ. It's like time stops. You're in that between heaven and earth, and we're waiting just for the Lord to come, you know, and to take his loved ones home. But here's what I want to read to you.
That's
part of that article. And they're the details, you know, of the story.
Before you go on to read that, I have to tell you, I started to say before you said it, I was going to say, boy, that sounds like a title for another book.
How about that?
Yeah.
There's a confirmation there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because there's so much material, you know, I couldn't get it all in the Book of Heaven's Homecoming. But here's something that was really a supernatural experience for me, and I just want to share this with the listeners and with you. Let me just get my little article here. Okay. Whenever I needed something repaired, I called on Joseph, a resident and master carpenter. What I enjoyed the most as he worked in my room were the conversations. Our talks continue with our walks in the garden. He always greeted me saying, "Yo, Father." And returning his hello, I would say, "Yo, Joe." But as the years passed, I still met him walking in the garden. But no more conversations, only, "Yo, Father," "Yo, Joe." Soon the greetings ended. Yet for a while he continued his walks, lost in the garden of his soul. In his last year of life, I would see him sitting at the table after the meals, staring into nowhere. Yo, Joe. He didn't know me anymore. And when he was dying, I was showering. By the time I arrived, Father Steve, a visiting priest, was ministering the sacrament of the sick. After the hymns of the sisters, he stopped breathing for a long half minute. I thought he died. I began praying. Eternal rest grant. Suddenly, Joseph breathed again and kept on breathing. Turning to his daughter, Catherine, also a resident, I said, I'm going out for my mission mass, and I will light a candle for your dad. That night, I got home about 9 o'clock. I wondered if Joseph was still breathing. At his doorway, I heard, Yo, Father. Stunned, I saw him alert, sitting up in bed by himself, a resurrection indeed. Yo, Joe, I responded. How are you, Father? Me? I asked, sitting down. You scared the heaven into me. I did. All the little sisters prayed around you, Joe. You were anointed by Father Steve. You almost died today. I lit a candle for you. How about that? He said, radiating a smile. When am I going home, Father? Thinking he thought he was in the hospital, I said, you're already home, Joe. He gazed around trying, I thought, to recognize something. And then he shook his head saying, I'm not. No, I'm not home. Joseph, believe me, you are home, I said, patting his thigh. Ah, Father, you're kidding me, he said, grinning and glowing. Listen, buddy, get your rest, Joe. I'll see you tomorrow, and we'll talk more. I gave him a blessing, grasped his hands, and said, good night, Lazarus. The next morning, I went straight to his room again. Before entering, I met his daughter. Catherine, how's your dad? Father, he died last night at 9:45, a half hour after I left him. Stunned again, I realized that when I was trying to convince him about his being home at Holy Family, he was trying to convince me about his going home to God with the Holy Family through the vestibule of heaven. Mm. With him, I was in that holy vestibule, the vestibule of heaven. There's a story about a little girl and her dad walking the beach at night. The twinkling stars were glittering a spectacular show for them. In the sacred silence, the father asked his mesmerized daughter, Catherine, what are you thinking? She said, if the bottom side of heaven is so beautiful, Daddy, how wonderful must be the other side. How beautiful, Holy Family home, the bottom side of heaven, under the watchful care of the little sisters of the poor. How wonderful my almost 80 years with them. And how holy, 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 this side of glory in heaven's vestibule. Hmm. Amen.
How beautiful.
Yes.
How beautiful. And you know what, Father? You can. It's almost palatable. You can almost feel it and touch it, the sincerity. It's just beautiful. It's so from the heart. And I commend you on the work that you do. You know, this book, I guess I think, I don't know why, but I figure I'll read the book. Can't wait to get it in my hands. You know, when somebody that you know writes something, you can't wait to read it. Yeah. And I started with it. Now, I'm a pretty fast reader, and I literally was in such a, so beautiful, almost like you were entering into a sacred time on each chapter of everyone's life that you wrote about. Mm-hmm. And I, who am usually a very quick reader, very fast reader, I literally read parts of the same story over and over again, because when I did, I got a new facet of that journey that they were walking. And you write so beautifully. It's so so articulately that you captured their experience of something that really reflects to all of us that there is nothing to fear. Especially when you share, Father. I think in the book, as you faced each one of these homecomings, if you will, mm-hmm. And you walked along that journey with them, even though many times you were fooled time and time again when you thought somebody was going home.
Yeah.
God's timing was so perfect.
You want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Exactly.
You know what God's going to do.
Exactly.
But, he has his own agenda.
He has his own agenda.
And his own ends.
And his own ends.
And that one beautiful end is for all of us to be there, you know, home, where all the glory lies in that kingdom of our Father.
Well, there was so much humor in the book. You could sense your own humor. I mean, it was so cute.
Yeah.
You called yourself, of course, Father Christopher in the book, and everybody kept calling you. You called yourself Father Chris.
Right.
Everybody kept calling you Father Christopher, and you said, well, I like Father Chris better. And they said, well, I think it's more priestly, one lady said, I'll call you Father Christopher. And the camaraderie, the beautiful bond, I was so deeply touched when you leaned down and kissed their heads after they closed their eyes. And one time you were leaning down to kiss somebody who had passed over. You had thought they were already gone.
Right.
And two breaths escaped them.
Mm.
And you said it was almost like they were waiting for that final anointing.
Yeah.
That final laying, especially the woman, a priest, the beautiful hands for a priest is a favorite prayer of mine.
Yes.
And when I read that in there, she was waiting for that, and she wanted that so much. And sure enough, at the very end, that's exactly what she got, not with her family around her.
Yeah.
But what she really wanted was the priest, the beautiful hands of a priest to be there, and God heard her prayer.
You know, it's a book about priesthood as well.
Yes.
You know, we had a good market with the little sisters, all the homes. They have maybe, you know, somewhere around 30, a little over, homes in the United States. So we mailed out a box to all the homes, you know, with permission from the provincials and the Mother General, who it was really Mother Margaret Regina who got Cardinal Dolan to write the foreword. You know, they loved it so much. Mother would drive from one home to the other home with Sister Frances Catherine to visit the homes in the province, and they would read the book as they would go, and they told me, Father, we would go so far and we would have to pull over because we were crying so much, and then they would get back in the car and drive again, and so we would have to pull over again because we were laughing so much. But anyway, there was one of the mothers down in Virginia, Richmond. She liked the book so much that for Christmas presents in the whole state, she sent a book to all the priests in the state of Virginia, saying this is a book for priests as well.
It really is.
Yeah. But, you know, I get so much wonderful feedback, and the truth is it hasn't really been promoted, and I really thank you for this opportunity to promote the book. The only time it was promoted was, I think, last month when Monsignor Chifo and you talked about the book in the radio program, but there was no other real promotion except for word of mouth. And people would buy a book and come back and get 5 and 10 more for friends. But one of the beautiful compliments that I received, and if this was the only one, it would have been worth writing the book at our ministry mass down, you know, where you're coming, Kathleen, I think at the end of March for the Calyx.
Yes.
Yeah, down there we have mass every Thursday night and at St. Michael's Chapel. And there was a couple that came, and they had wanted me to sign the copy of the book for them. And I sat next to them at the table after the mass for our little social. And she started to tell me, she said, you know, Father, I'm in my third reading of this book. And I just want to tell you, 15 years ago, my mother died. And, you know, our husband was next to her. We got so angry with God that we stopped going to church.
Mm-hmm.
15 years. And she said, this book has brought us back. We're back, Father, to the sacraments.
Wow.
You know, and I'm right there, and then I know
worth
it's
it all.
The book's anointed. You know,
exactly.
It's not me. I give God the honor and the glory. I do know that the Holy Spirit doesn't type. You know, there was a lot of work to it, but a lot of inspiration, and it really did burn in me. It just said, this has to be written down. And I'll tell you, it was rewriting it. And that's what good writing is. It's rewriting and rewriting. You write till you feel that it's right, you know, and then you let it go. But it was really a blessing for me to be able to capture all these stories, you know, of these professors of our faith, and give us these wonderful, they're teachers beyond words, and they become like little children again.
Yeah.
Bishop Sheen called the homes of the Little Sisters of the Poor Heaven's Kindergartens. Hmm. And my first title of the book was The ABCs of Heaven's Kindergarten, but it came to be Heaven's Homecoming. And you were saying about, you know, that the book helps to take the fear away. You know,
yeah.
I get that a lot. Father, I'm not afraid to die anymore. And, you know, that was Dolly. You know, if you remember the
yep.
chapter, Dolly.
Yeah.
You know, she was afraid every day
until
that last day. Eyes open, and she just would reach and smile, you know, and go home bravely. And that hit me so strongly, and I'm saying, really, grace is just for today. I need to trust him tomorrow. You know, all of our fears are in the future. And when that day comes for us, there's going to be a special grace. And like these residents who show us, you know, they can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
They look at their watches. Father, what time is he coming for me? You know, and it's just so beautiful to see such faith. And, you know, when they come into the home, you know, you see this journey that they go on.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're saints when they come into the home.
Yeah, you write some cute stories in there, obviously.
Yeah. But it's a retirement home. The Little Sisters of the Poor, their homes are retirement homes, and they become nursing homes when they need the nursing. So they come in usually with an apartment. So when they leave their regular homes, they cut down maybe to a quarter of their possessions. And then when they leave the apartment, they go to a room, and they cut down again to maybe, you know, only a quarter of their possessions. And the only thing that's around them is what's really valuable and important, their sacramentals, pictures of their loved ones, you know, not much more. And you see this purifying process happening right before your eyes. You know, like things we wouldn't ask for, you know, like a cane, you know, it starts with a cane, then a walker, and then a wheelchair, and then it's like a bed chair, and then it's the sick bed, and then the death bed. But, you know, you just see more and more becoming more like a child.
Yes.
More simplicity, purity, back to the innocence. And you see the radiance in them. They're ready. You know, sometimes priests, you know, they get mad. I often hear how these priests get up on the pulpit and they, you know, at funeral masses and they canonize these souls. Well, I can actually say I can do it,
yeah.
You know, because I see it. I see their purification.
Mm-hmm.
And I base it on God's word, you know, what the Gospels tell us. You know, he wants us all to become saints before we leave here.
That's right.
You know, and you know, it's like... I see the radiance, you know, the glory of God, you know, with the little sisters. And it's so wonderful and beautiful that hour of death when all the Hail Marys are fulfilled, when we're all around and all there. And boy, does he let his presence known to us all in that sacred room.
Mm.
Called the watch, usually, by the little sisters. You know, they take turns just watching, and when the vital signs change, you know, the beepers will go off and we all gather around.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah,
in the
we pray, anoint, and just wait for the Lord to come. I call the little sisters, you probably picked this up in the book sometimes, I like to refer to them as the midwives of Christ.
The midwives,
because they help the divine physician to deliver the souls into their eternal birthdays, into that place in heaven.
Yeah, one of them you knelt, bent over and kissed her and said, happy first birthday.
Mm.
I loved it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so many wonderful stories.
Another thing I think is really beautiful about this book, you know, in one minute you're on the brink of tears because you're really walking a very sacred journey there. And you bring the person right into that journey, Father, in your writing. And so you're on the brink of tears. And the next moment... You read another chapter, and you see that in the midst of their pain, and in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their hurting, they still have a beautiful sense of humor.
Yes.
And I think that's developed through that suffering servant's heart. And if you don't mind, I'm going to share a little bit of your book here.
Sure.
Father was asking, this is Honey. Now, there's all different
okay.
characters.
Yeah.
This is Honey. And Father's, and I have a dog ear because I love it. And Father's asking her, you know, she's not feeling too well. And she said she was just at the doctor's. And she goes, besides my headaches, backaches, my hair is falling out, my feet hurt, my knees quake, and my body shakes. Just this morning, Father, I met my doctor after a long wait in his busy office. Like you, he said, how's Honey? Hurting, I said. Where? He asked. It hurts when I touch here, here, and here, I said, pointing to my head, my back, my legs, and my feet. I know what's wrong, he said. What is it, Doc? Tell me. It's your finger. My what? Your finger. It's broken. I'll need to operate, he said, laughing at me. And Father Chris, my doctor's such a kidder. And your reply was, and you're not? Me a kidder? She asked, looking down at my feet. I bet I know where you got your shoes. She couldn't know, I thought. She couldn't know. Okay, I'll bet you a decade of the rosary, Father says. You pick the mystery. Let's make a whole rosary and you pick the mystery, she said. Okay, and it's to be prayed in the chapel for our special intention. Is it a bet, honey? I asked, still hoping to dream about heaven, to dispel my own fear of death. Fine, she said. You looked at her and you said, okay, tell me where I get my shoes. Tell me where I got my shoes. On your feet, she said, laughing at me. I got the doctor the same way. And there you go. In the middle of her suffering and her pains and her aches,
yeah,
she still saw the laughing Jesus in it. Not laughing at her, but with her. In the midst of her sorrow, she experienced a joy. And I think you bring that out so beautifully. I just want to share with everybody. We're in a Lenten journey. We're just beginning our Lenten journey in these next several weeks. Mm-hmm. Call me here, or you can call. Let's see, where do they order this book, Father?
Oh, okay. We have it at St. Jude's shop.
Okay.
And Ken Johnston's been really helping out. He has the book on Kindle.
Okay.
We're trying to get it on Amazon. And we have it here, of course. But that's about it right now. There's a little store in Jersey, which I think it's called the St. Teresa's, the Little Flower Religious Store. Bill,
okay,
you know, he's been helping to sell the books there.
Right.
But St. Jude's shop's been there, and people come to the home, or they come to the ministry, you know, to our mass or whatever,
right,
and they purchase the book there. But that's why I'm hoping that maybe later on we'll get more help with it and see where it goes.
Well,
it's starting out little, you know,
yep,
and if it's, God doesn't do anything small, and I know he did this, so
right,
we'll see what happens.
I feel the same way, Father.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it out on my, you give me a bunch of these, I'm going to put them out on my own when I give conferences. I'll be glad to put them out and speak about this, because I think it's a work from God's heart to all of our hearts. You so beautifully said, so beautifully stated that you had a fear yourself,
yeah,
of dying. And it was the people that God placed you on this watch to minister to these people for so many years, that as you read in this book, finally you get a deeper glimpse into the Holy of Holies, into,
yeah,
the most beautiful vestibule, if you will,
right,
heaven's vestibule. And so, because of that, this is a book that everybody should read. It's so beautifully written. As I said, you know, you'll get a little, yeah, tear in your eye and a laugh in your heart.
It's a good book for a bereavement group.
It is.
That, and also for, I know you have many listeners that are elderly who are,
yep,
you know, in their homes and can't get out. It's a great book for them who are, you know, in their sunset of life, the most beautiful part of life. You know, you when look at a day, it's the sunrise and the sunset.
Yeah.
But also for those who are in 60s who have elderly parents, you know, who are facing that moment, you know, to see, you know, the beauty of it all. I mean, there is evil there, and that's what we're scared of. But there's so much grace, saving grace.
Amen.
The Lord is so present to that, and that, you know, that those Hail Marys at the hour of death, Mary is there. Saint Joseph, the patron of the dying, is there. All the patron saints are around. You know.
Yeah.
I have to mention, too, you mentioned our friends like Joe Call and PJ. PJ is the kind of like my agent. You know, he's been pushing this book.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does a wonderful job. And if it wasn't for him, it wouldn't have gone anywhere. You know,
oh,
he keeps after it, and even the little sisters, you know, especially the provincial, really liked it. You know, it might not even taken off, because when you do something holy and sacred, the devil is going to attack it. And I can't tell you, you know, hours and hours of work, I'd be at the computer, and all of a sudden, gone.
Yep.
You know, it would just disappear. You know, you want to quit, but you don't. You know,
that's
start over again, and it's better.
Yeah,
it's better every time. You know, just don't let the devil win.
That's exactly right.
If the devil knocks at your door, let Jesus answer.
Amen. I love it. We got, guess who's on the line?
Who?
Kenny. Hold on.
Oh, good.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, how are you,
Mr. Johnson? I'm glad you called in. Got Father Doug on the phone.
Hey, Ken.
Ken.
We lost him.
Hey, Ken. I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you there, Ken?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing, Ken?
All right, Father, how are you?
How'd you know I was going to be on the radio? I didn't even know until today.
I happened to talk to a mutual friend of ours about a different topic around 10 minutes after 5, and she let me know. How do you know, Kathleen? I was with Father last night. And he didn't let any of us know he was going to be on the radio.
Oh, I know.
I didn't even know myself.
Oh, you
know, I was in the shower this morning, and I heard my phone ring, because I was wondering when the call might come in. And I said, this has to be Harry Cosgrove. and it was. He left a message. And then when I called the number in, I couldn't get through.
Right.
So, thankfully, someone called me, and I was able to get back again. But there's that devil again, Kathleen.
You know, Father, I can tell you, I can relate 100%. Any book I've written, any work that I've ever done, you can be sure that there's going to be all kinds of stumbling blocks, but God uses them for stepping stones, doesn't he?
Yes, that's for sure.
So, Ken, what do you think about this book? Isn't it beautiful?
It's great. It's great, and I had the privilege of doing a little bit of the work for Father with that Kindle edition. He's the humblest man I know, and when he put the book out, he's right when he says he gave it to other people to run with, and one of the things that I was able to get done for him was to get it published as a Kindle book, so it is available on Amazon, but only as a Kindle. You can't buy the paperback there yet.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
But I also put the paperback version is up on eBay, so if anybody uses eBay to shop or buy things, you get it the same price you would get it at the St. Jude shop. We'll just charge you a couple bucks for shipping. That's two ways to you can get it online if you're not near one of the places the Father mentioned earlier.
What about Calix too, right, Ken?
I'm sorry?
Calix.
The Calix website at www.calixsociety.org. We have a store out there. It's also available through them. Same price as eBay, $12, including shipping.
Beautiful. And also the
Kindle.
The nice
thing about that is Calix gets a small percentage in addition to the Little Sisters of the Poor if you buy it through the Calix website.
Okay. And also that I have this
Calix. You know what, Kathleen, if I could just mention this too, Ken just reminded me of it. On March the 4th, this Sunday, the Little Sisters are having a fundraiser, and it's the Dervish, the Irish group. And it's from, let's say, reception from 3 p.m. to 5, and live auctions 5:30. Concert is at 6 p.m. And the books are going to be there.
Oh, wonderful.
You know? So if anybody is planning to go there, they certainly could pick up the book there and pick it up for a friend.
Wonderful.
But Archbishop Prendergast High School Auditorium, 401 North Lansdale Avenue, Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania.
And what time is that, Father?
The concert begins at 6.
Okay.
It says reception 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., introductions and live auctions 5:30 p.m., concert at 6 p.m.
Well, it's right down our
road. The elderly.
Yeah. I also wanted to say that Heaven's Homecoming on the Kindle, I have that up in front of me. As a matter of fact, Ken, I'm glad you called in. $7.99 on the screen here, you can send it right to your Kindle, and it'll start in under a minute. So start reading Heaven's Homecoming on your Kindle.
And all the royalties and profits. In fact, I'm losing money on this, but that's okay. It's a great donation for me.
Right.
But it goes to the Little Sisters and to the beautiful work that they do in the spirit of St. John Jagan.
St. John Jagan.
You know, St. John Jagan, great saint. I just wanted to read this one little thing about
Please.
It I have in front of me. It's from Charles Dickens, you know, British author, contemporary of Jean Jagan. And he writes this about her. There is in Jean Jagan something so calm and so holy that in seeing her, I know myself to to be in the presence of a superior being. Her words went straight to my heart, so that my eyes, I know not how, filled with tears. Charles Dickens.
Wow.
But a great little humble, so you talk about humility, St. John Jagan, you know, it's just beautiful. You know, she picked up a soul, you know, and gave her own bed in Chavan. That's how the work started in the winter of 47. But so really, you know, I'm sorry, the winter of 1839, it was, 1839. She was born October 25th, 1792, died August 29th, 1879. She's 86 years old. But so humble and simplistic and a mystic, on fire. She showed radiance and loved the elderly, because in the elderly she saw Jesus, and he's in us all, saving us all.
She was just canonized a few years back, right?
She was canonized. Mm-hmm. Right, October 11th, 2009.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, Kathleen?
Yes. Yes, Ken. I guess we lost him.
Keep losing him.
I wonder if he's on a cell phone.
Yeah. It's better to be on the house phone.
It is. Yeah. Ken, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was on mute. Before I hang
that'll
up.
That'll do it.
I got somebody that wants to say hi to Father McKay real quick.
Go ahead.
Hi, Father McKay.
Is this Katie?
Mary Kate.
Mary Kate, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I got your wonderful letter, your note, touched my heart. I have to come for dinner sometime. Yeah, how's Michael doing? And Matthew?
Good.
Matthew, I mean. Yeah, that's great, Mary Kate.
Yeah.
Thanks for saying hi.
God bless you.
A little one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ken, thanks for calling in.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Ken.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The international president of the Calyx Society.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, Father, I would be remiss if I didn't share a little bit of what I happen to know about your own calling. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show us, all of us, especially for a priest, unless you begin to recognize that call, you know, you recognize it in the most unpredictable set of circumstances, a gray furry's boy down there.
Yeah.
Apparently quite, you know, my boy's all boxed. Mm-hmm. And you were pretty good with your dukes, I hear.
You heard that, huh?
I did hear that. And I think that's one of the reasons my kids love this so much, to see the two sides. And why don't you share a little bit about your own calling to priesthood?
Okay, well, my vocation, you know, actually really starts way back.
Yeah.
Preschool.
Yeah.
You know, block collection. the pastor coming around and just seeing my mother sweat, getting the house clean. You know, and phone calls, you know, father's at so-and-so, he's coming closer and closer. Who is this guy that's coming, you know? And, you know, all this excitement.
Yeah.
And the man comes in with the black suit. And, you know, I see him, and, you know, he gives us his blessing. I look up at the crucifix and at the man in the black suit, and I'm saying, there's something together here. You know, and I think that was a seed planted for me there.
Right.
And then it was, like, somewhere in the early grades. You know, I would have remembered the sister if it was first. It could have been second, because I had a teacher, and a sister would come in and teach religion. And all I remember her saying is, today we're going to write a letter to the Blessed Mother, and that no human eyes would see it. We would write the letter, she would take it, and burn this letter in the convent's incinerator. And I remember writing, Dear Blessed Mother, please ask your son if I can be a priest. And sign my name, and sister would take the letters, you know, you make the envelope heaven, little, you know, draw a little stamp, and she would take them. No human eyes will ever see these. But sister said, now go home and ask the Blessed Mother for what you wrote for, what you really want. And that night, I remember so distinctly, I was looking out my bedroom window at the moon. It was a full moon, and it looked like the Eucharist, white full moon. And I just kept saying, please, Blessed Mother, ask your son if I can be a priest. And I pestered her all night. And I could hear her little whisper in my heart, "Go to sleep, my son. Someday you will be a priest." And I went to sleep. And then, you know, after that, you struggle through school. I didn't do too well in school. I think I had the chicken pox when I was young, and I missed some work and then was left behind and never caught up. And I had a speech impediment. I had to go to speech class in grade school. Mm-hmm. Even in the seminary, they put me through speech therapy. And it was a lot of struggle, high school, you know. But it was in the seventh grade, a parish priest came in, and he asked the question, "How many here want to be a priest?" All the hands went up, but mine. Even the girls raised their hands. And my hand never went up. And the priest came back to me, Father Don Layton, he came to me, and he said, "How come you don't want to be a priest?" And I shrugged my shoulders, and I said, "I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it." And I'm looking around the room, and I'm seeing these guys with the A's and the B's. If God's going to call anybody, it's these smart people that God would call. No one in that room became a priest. I did, you know, and that's the grace of God and the Blessed Mother. And then I drifted, you know, eighth grade, I took a test for Bishop Newman High School. And it was, I got a 19 composite, a 19%. I'm saying that, I don't have it, Lord. And then drifted through high school, cheated on test, hung on the corners with everybody.
This is what gives us all hope, Father. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hung in the bars, even in the bar, I could hear the Lord speaking even more loudly.
Exactly.
More loudly, you know, that you can do this, you know. And then I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, you know. And I said to myself, you know, I have to run this down. I went to Lincoln Prep, you know, I had to repeat high school all over again, you know. And I took 16 courses. It took me 3.5 years, and you did a year of high school in 4 months, but I took, you know, different things. I was working at DuPont Paints and studying hard at night. And my first test was a C. Boy, I was so elated. That was my own C. I didn't cheat. It was my C. By the end of the 3.5 years, I was the valedictorian. It was my second time around. I don't tell people it was the second time around, but I say I'm a valedictorian.
That's right.
But it was the second time around. And, you know, I'm saying, well, maybe I can do this. You know, I went into that prep school thinking I would flunk out and that God would leave me alone, you know. And then I went into the Salesians because I didn't think that I could relate to, you know, adults.
Right.
I knew I could relate to kids. I worked with kids all my life.
Right.
And then I went to the Salesians, St. John Bosco, the founder of youth. And then from there, St. Charles Seminary, my second year. And I remember waking up the first morning as a priest. It was a long haul. I almost left, you know, my second year, St. Charles, because in the prep school, it was all memorization. Now it was, you know, you had to write theories
paperwork,
and things like that and understand and turn papers and all this. And, I could get in that story, but I better not because I know we're running out of time. Let me just take it to the end there. At the end, you know, the first morning that I woke up as a priest, I started to open up my gifts, and it was a little miraculous medal, the first one that I opened up, and it was glittering in my eyes. And I thought, man, this is a special medal. My father always wore the miraculous medal. I know the miraculous medal is very special to Joe Kahl.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I have to really get a special priest to bless this. And I'm thinking of the pastor or Father McKee, who gave my homily at my first Mass, or Father Farley, who really was the master of ceremonies there. And I'm saying, you know, who can I get? And I don't want to disappoint. I said, wait a minute, I am a priest. And I blessed the medal. And I still carry that in my pocket.
How beautiful.
It was a long journey.
Yeah.
You know, ups and downs. But the Lord was always there. You know, it was the Lord did it, you know, through me. And it was more of a surrender on my part. But I went back. I went back to Grace Ferry, you know, those people I fell in love with. And I think that was the whole point of the Lord making me a priest, certainly to be here, but to go back to where I came from.
Yeah.
Back to the bars. I would go in the bars giving out medals and green scapulars and start working with people who were really having problems with alcohol and drugs. We have had so many overdoses, so many deaths. My brother died from an overdose,
yeah.
You know, and was found in the crack house with a needle in his arm. And it was all that work, and we started, I would walk the streets and talk to people. I said, I wish I had a little house where I can just sit down with them and talk. And then there was a house right across from the church, and I said, that was a nice sign. And it was just, how that all came
yes.
about. Somebody bought the house, an anonymous buyer, don't let anybody know, and that sort of thing. I still don't really know till this day who bought the first house. But then it just started to grow, and we got a second house. And it was originally our chapel was called St. Raphael's. And we tried to get the permission for the Blessed Sacrament there
mm-hmm.
Quite a few times. I was in it quite a few times. And it was the year of the priesthood. And Father Peter Welsh, my dear friend, said, go on and sit down with the Cardinal and hear him say no to you. And I went down. I sat down with Cardinal Regali for about 40 minutes. And I told him all the stories about the dead bodies that I were blessing, seeing young kids hanging from ropes on the floor, parents hanging over them. And I said, Your Eminence, I'm a priest. And the Eucharist and the priesthood, they go together like the hearts of Jesus and Mary. And I said, I just can't understand why I can't have permission to have the Blessed Sacrament. And he listened. And about a week later, he came down about a week later. He said, I can't promise you anything, but I have to talk to people, canon laws, whatever. I said, okay. I think he wanted to make sure that I wasn't a loose cannon.
Yeah.
He came back down a week later, made a pastoral visit at the parish, inquired about me with the pastor, and of course Father Michael Lee gave me a lot of praises and all. And about a few days after that, the letter came, and I was here at Holy Family Home, and I knew where it was from. I took the letter up to the balcony of our chapel. I rubbed it on the Sacred Heart statue, all over the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I opened it up like I was ragging in a royal stray flesh.
Wow.
And it said, you have permission. Well, we got so ecstatic.
Oh,
it was
imagine.
The miracle on 29th Street.
Yeah.
And we worked, to get ready for the reposition mass of Jesus there.
Wow.
And I remember that night we gave out all these holy cards of St. Raphael. And then right before Christmas, we had our mass. Now we have the Blessed Sacrament. Before Christmas, we have all boxes of toys to give out to the poor in the family and food baskets. And we're down to the last box, and it was hard work, and we're tired. And I'm looking at the box and reading the bottom of the box, and it says, St. Raphael Teddy Bears.
Wow. Amazing.
St. Raphael Teddy Bears. And I'm saying, look at this. Could this
amazing.
This is a sign. We open it up, and what's in there? It's a musical angel of St. Raphael with the same exact holy card that we had just given out. And we brought it in, and I set the little angel on our altar, wound it up, and we listened to the tune, and it played Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that, Kathleen, somebody from Caesar's Casino, one of the big high rollers down there, who have a friend that's connected with this, and they have helped us out, and he said, can you go down and hear a confession to somebody? He's been away 30 years, and he's had heart surgery, and he just wants to come back to God.
Wow.
And I said, sure, I'll go down. And I'm going down, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm wearing my collar, and I'm saying, I'm going to ask for a sign here. Lord, St. Raphael, the fish, the little flower you find a rose, but show me a fish. I don't care if they offer a fish dinner. Maybe I'll play the slots and get three fishes and win some money for the ministry. I don't know. So I get into the room, and we're there, and we're praying, and he turns off all of his phones, and we start the confession, great confession. And right before the absolution, he says, the beeper goes off. He says, oh, Father, it's the president of the Caesars, and I have to take this. I said, all right, there's the devil again, slips
that's
at work
right.
again. But he comes back, and I give him the holy card, St. Raphael. I said, here, that's for you, and it's blessed. And he said, you can bless things? I said, sure, I'm a priest. He said, can you bless this? And he pulls out a fish from his neck that he wears.
Wow.
And I blessed the fish. Now, I could have won $1 million. It wouldn't have meant as much.
Exactly.
And each archangel has a sacrament. Raphael has the sacrament of confession. and it was right before the Eucharist. You would think he would have the anointing since he's the healing angel.
Yes, yes.
But he's over the sacrament of reconciliation.
Wow.
And I'm saying these beautiful, wonderful signs, you know, that the Lord really shows that, you know, when you do his work, he lets you know
that he's
there. And I really never had to ask for a penny. You know, you can make needs known to certain people,
yep.
But I never really asked. We were down to $200 one time when Monsignor Chifo was the pastor of King of Peace.
Oh, yeah.
And he invited me out to his parish there, where he's pastor now, St. Madeline Sophie's, is it?
Mary Magdalene.
But anyway, I went out there, and I three masses, I talked about what we're talking about here, you know, about the community of Grace Ferry, and it raised like $10,000.
Well.
You know, and I knew the Lord was behind all that. And when funds would go down again, somebody would come and give something else. You know, and you always knew it was the Lord himself providing for his work.
Yeah.
You know, I never had to worry at all about finances,
yeah.
Just to do his work. And how beautiful for me to be a priest. You know, I'm not a pastor. And, you know, I don't have to be bogged down with administration and things.
Yeah.
You know, the little sisters do all that. I just sign my check. At the ministry, there's people there. You know, we have a board, you know, like Ken himself and Amy. And my brother Harry's the president. And we have Mary Walter as the secretary. And then Franny Rafferty as the vice president.
Oh, yeah, Franny Rafferty,
and,
the judge.
Just so many beautiful people. Chuck Gareth, Kathy Deering, you know, on and on. There's like 20 members on there, you know. But just they do all the work. You know, I get
praise
the glory.
Yep.
They do the work.
I,
you
say,
know that yourself,
I say that here, Father,
there's
all
so
the
many
time.
People around you, and,
yep.
You know, it's really a God squad.
Yeah, God squad indeed. I always say, you know, that might be my voice they hear, but my voice is silenced without their prayers, their generosity, and all their sacrifices. So
really?
They're the real evangelizers.
Yeah.
Father,
yeah.
We're down to the... I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Mm-hmm.
Next time I'd like to bring you back on, and I'd like to open up the phone lines and have all these people call in, those that are on that last journey, that
yeah.
Twilight between the sunrise and sunset. So I'll be calling you for another date soon.
Okay.
All right.
That'll be wonderful.
And could you give us your priestly blessing, Father?
Certainly, Kathleen. Name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord, our God, just thank you for this hour, Lord, and just for letting us know your loving and saving presence with us always. Just ask that you bless us all, especially all the elderly who are listening now. Take away that fear of death to let them know you're always with them, always till the end of the world, leading them home to that place in heaven that you won for us, Jesus, where all the glory lies, to see the Father's face. And the Holy Spirit with all our loved ones, Mary and Joseph, and all the angels. Thank you, Lord, for this hour, and keep us close to your heart, between your heart and Mary's, as we travel home to eternal life, to be with you and see you as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And may Almighty God bless you, Kathleen, your ministry, and all you minister to, your listeners, especially today. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, Father Doug, I must say you have stolen my heart through this book. And
thank you, for all you do, too, Kathleen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Keep up your good work.
Thank you, Father. I'll be
all
seeing
right.
you soon.
All right.
Bye now. And my brothers and sisters, we come to the close of the hour. Once again, I just want to remind all of you, Heaven's Homecoming. You can call here. I can get the book to you. You can go to Amazon click on, if you have a Kindle, to get that going. $12 is the book. I'll tell you what, I really believe this is a beautiful gift for all those who are on that final journey. And all for priests. It's a beautiful book about the vocation of priesthood, my brothers and sisters. And I just praise and thank God for all the beautiful people he brings to us through this ministry. May God bless you. And if you're away from the church, come on home. We miss you, and we're not complete without you. So my brothers and sisters, if you need to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation to have that gift of repentance, through penance. I ask that you go knock on a priest's door. None of us know the hour of the day, and they'll always be willing to give you a sacrament. And remember, you can always look on any church bulletin outside, and you can see their hours for reconciliation. God loves you, and he wants to hold you close to his own heart. He sees those hurts and those wounds, just like little Honey talked about. And he is the divine physician. So may God bless you. May you never forget. You're never, ever alone. He's with you always, each and every day. In your sorrow and your pain and your joys and in the miracles of life, let him show you the power of his Holy Spirit. God bless you.